Blog Talk Radio.
Harvesting. So
trying to figure out ways to get them out without a whole lot of effort. I think I have come up with a procedure or a process that does that. That's to my satisfaction, at least. I took some pictures. I will upload them after this broadcast. I told you about the new trays that I was using for growing microgreens, and I had put, you know, I had old trays that I added holes to because it seemed like the roots were having a problem getting through the tray. Only some roots were coming through, and I was wondering, how is that working? But then I, you know, went ahead and put more holes in the bottom of the trays myself, and then I bought some trays that had more holes in them, and I'm just loving it because these plants are growing so well now because all the roots can get down to the water. It's just amazing me. So I have to, there's a farmer's market tomorrow that I have to, you know, pack up for tonight. I've been having to let these sprouts dry out. I couldn't really do any packing during the day, so I spent the day writing scripts to do backups of the website, Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries website, and the microgreen well site. The microgreens, I really feel, from the last couple of farmers markets, we're about to pick up a lot of business. And I'm thinking even restaurants are coming out. They're not saying they're restaurants, you know, but they're buying one of everything, I guess, to see what the quality is. And so I know that I'm putting out a good product because I'm getting repeat customers every week. And so we're just thanking Yah for that. We should be, I think we should be viable as a business in no time. I might have to start hiring people or move into another you know, location. Might have to actually rent a place so that I can hire some people. I'm not sure I want people coming in out of my house or, you know, the back door or leaving it open or what have you. Anyway, Yah is good and greatly to be praised. I want to welcome everybody to Tuesday Night Newcomers. We are still in Reaping Souls for the Kingdom. And on last week, I didn't even look to see. I know where we left off at. I know where we're going to start at this week. But we're looking at what should we be telling people when we're witnessing to them as far as what does Yah require to enter into His kingdom. And so that's the question before us tonight. So let's go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will go ahead and jump into this. Command the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads for the stern toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Messiah, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, Father. We just love you and the glory of you. We give you adoration on today, Father, for you are our Elohim, and there is none like you, Yah. No, not one, Father. Hallelujah. We just thank you for giving us a mind to worship you and to worship you alone. So we just give you honor, glory, and praise, and we give you the new on today. I ask that you would be with every living person that is listening to this broadcast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. We just glorify you, Father. We thank you for all your magnificent things that you do for us each and every day. Our scripture for tonight, or our prayer. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our reference verse for tonight, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. And you show how much express his name. Amen and amen. All right, so we are in Reaping Souls for the Kingdom, which is lesson number 7 in the Milk series. And we're talking about what should we tell people about salvation. What should we be telling people about salvation? Because being reaping souls for the kingdom, first you have to be a witness of what Yah has done for you. And then you have to be able to explain the gospel, the scriptures to people in a way that is truth. It's in truth and in spirit. So on last week, we talked about telling people and making them understand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Most High. And then we also went into what was sin and what is willful sin and what is ignorant sin, because it's important that people understand that, that the Most High cares about two categories of sin, ignorant sin and willful sin. One of the things that I did a precept on this, I believe it was Saturday, and it was the reproach of Yah, reproaching Yah. And because in Numbers chapter 15, when we were reviewing last week in this class, when we read something, it struck a chord in me, and I had to go back and study it and to make sure that I was understanding what I had just seen in the scriptures. And so we now know and understand that blasphemy is willful sin. So if we are willfully sinning, then we are committing blasphemy. Now, we're not committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's a whole different level and type of sin. But when we willfully sin, we do something we know is wrong, and we go ahead and do it, the scripture says that it's blasphemy. And it carries a death sentence, just like the, you know, but it can be forgiven. So I believe it was in Matthew chapter 31. If I'm quoting that wrong, I'll look it up. I think it's 31, where Messiah said, all manner of blasphemy, all manner of sins and blasphemies, I think it's Matthew 13, all manner of sins and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy of the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And so I wanted to make sure when I was seeing what I was seeing, that it wasn't saying that we were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We weren't speaking against the Holy Spirit, but you're going against the Holy Spirit when you blaspheme because you're being disobedient. And so Numbers chapter 15 was telling us was that if we willfully sin, if we presumptively sin, that it goes, you know, we don't look at that word blasphemy because it's written as reproach. Reproach. The meaning of reproach is to blaspheme. And so the man picking up sticks on the Sabbath day was accused of blasphemy. And Yah said he will surely die. He shall surely die. They took him out and stoned him. So it let me know that when we willfully sin, then it is, in the Most High's eyes, it is blasphemy. It is forgivable one time. One time when you come to Messiah, because after when you come to Messiah, all your sins that you confess, you're confessing what you know is sin. So those things that you know are sin that you're confessing, then you can't go back and redo those things. You can't say, I'm trying to get over it. I'm a work in progress in that area, because he says, Messiah told, just like he told the woman that they brought to him that was accused of adultery, to go and sin no more. Can't willfully sin. Okay, so as we are learning these things and they're, you know, becoming deeper we're becoming deeper in our understanding, then all have sinned. No, there's nobody that was sinless but the Messiah. So we have all sinned, and the Most High made sure that we, you know, there's only way to come out of that sin is to go through the Messiah. Okay, and then he died for our sins that are past. So let's go to Romans chapter 3 real quick. And do I have my Bible up? I think I closed it. Let me open it back. And remember, this is the milk of the word. This is what, you know, every saint should know. And we want to govern ourselves accordingly. And then when we are bringing, my goal is when we are witnessing to people, and we're telling them about the kingdom, and we're telling them how it works, that we set the correct expectations so that, you know, they're not saying that they were taught a lie, or they're not saying that they weren't taught, you know, the complete truth, but that you are giving them exactly, and I try to do this in such a way, that you are giving them exactly what they need to stay in the kingdom and walk upright before the Most High. So the expectation is there. When you come to him, this is what he expects. That is what we are doing. So the book of Romans, chapter 3. And I want to go down to probably verse 26 or 29, somewhere in there. I just want to make sure that this book, we are walking through this, that we know. I should get to the book of Romans. Wrong book. Romans chapter 3, and let's go down to verse 25. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Make sure we're all right, make sure we're all on the same page.
Amen.
All right, amen. I'm going to open up these mics here. So if anybody online calling in on the phone, if you want to participate, you are free to. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a replacement, a payment, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. For the remission of sins that are past. Not remission of sins that are future. Now, this applies to every generation and applies specifically to the individual. When we come to Messiah, when we first hear about salvation and becoming saved, that we understand that Messiah died for all your sins from the day you were born until that day when you confess your sins and you are baptized. And all your sins up until that point, from the day you got baptized and backwards, past, are washed away. You are forgiven of all your sins. You are clean. You are sinless at that point. Okay. Now, your future sins are still on you. And so how the Most High looks at that is as sin or past sin, or not future sin, ignorant sin, or willful sin. That's how he looks at that. And if we sin willfully, then he says there's no blood for that because we knew what we were doing. Okay. So we got to understand that that is the procedure. We died for your sins that are past. And when we are speaking to people and we are, you know, trying to get them to come into the kingdom, or if we're talking to people who have left the kingdom because they felt like they weren't taught the truth, they weren't, you know, the expectation wasn't set, they didn't have the right mindset. Because a lot of people come into this feeling like, you know, I got time to get things right. I got time to get things right. When we don't have, you know, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. All right, so let's go to Romans chapter 6. the book of Romans, and we are going to get verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, the earnings of sin. When we sin, we are actually earning death. Some sins are supposed to bring us immediate death. But because the Most High is not doing what he did in Israel today in the world, he says he has appointed a day that he's going to do this. When he was working with Israel, if somebody sinned, and while the Most High was dealing with Israel on a personal level as a nation, then if somebody was caught sinning, a sin that was unto death, they were killed. Now today, because we're not doing that and the world is not doing that, then people feel like, you know, they can get away with stuff. And they feel like they don't really have to stop sinning. They can just, you know, say, I'm sorry, and then keep going. But they are earning death, and the Most High says that he's going to call, he's going to hold everybody accountable on a certain day. And so he has appointed a day. I think we should go get that scripture. But let's finish this. For the wages of sin of death is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life through Yeshua HaMashiach. All right. So if we do what Messiah said, if we accept his death, burial, and resurrection, and we confess him as our Savior, then we say we're going to follow after him. He don't just die for our sins, and we get to continue the way that we were and keep doing what we were doing. He died for our sins that we might receive eternal life. But we got to do the things that we need to do, which is not willfully sin. If we ignorantly sin, and he says, okay, I can understand it. You didn't know. Then you learn about it, confess it. I'm true and just to forgive it. But if we stay in the way we were, once we come to him, then that doesn't work for him. And so anybody that's teaching that, you know, you got time. Anybody that's teaching you you know, you can, you got time to work through this. If you die in your sin, and it was a sin unto death, you're going to die. You're going to receive the death sentence. Simple. And so, you know, ignorance is not bliss. It is, you know, where we want a chance to make it right with the Most High. We want to be in right relationship with him. And let me look up this other verse, because I want us to, so that we know that it's a little bit different today. Just a second. Let's go to sort of Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17. So we tell people that the wages of sin is death, and there are sins, all sin, 99.9% of all sin is unto death. But the Most High wants to know is, are you doing it ignorantly, or are you doing it willfully? That's what it comes down to. That's what he wants to know. Okay. And in these modern days, in our time, when we don't see judgment come right away, it's because of this. Acts chapter 17. And let's start in verse 27. Okay. We'll just start there. Acts chapter 17 and verse 27. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That they should seek Yah, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. But we are also his offspring. That's why I said, if knowing that you are a child of the Most High, He has accepted you. If that's not enough to make you stop sinning, nothing will make you stop sinning. If you don't esteem what he has done for us, because everybody is not a child of who? The Most High? Everybody's not a child of the Most High. And so if you are a child of the Most High, if that's not enough to make you stop sinning, nothing will make you stop sinning. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art or man's device. For the times of this ignorance Elohim winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness for that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised them up from the dead. So the Most High would bring judgment on Israel immediately. But now he has done what? He's appointed a day. Well, he's going to judge everybody. And you're going to be just according to your work. And so we have to understand, you know, we might look like we're getting away with something right now, but we're really not. And it might look like Yah is being merciful, but you really don't know if he's being merciful or not because you haven't been what? Judged yet. He might say, you know what? Yeah, I looked at your heart. You knew what you were doing. So, no, I'm not extending mercy to you. You might look at your heart and say, you know what? You were ignorant of that thing, and your heart was to serve me. And had you known, you would have done it. So, yes, enter in. David said, blessed is the man in whom Yah does not impute his sins against him. Okay. But, you know, you have to be very careful with that because I think everybody tries to rely on that. When the scriptures show, it's very few. I think there's only one person in the Bible that the Most High did not impute his sin against. That was David. Everybody else, they were guilty. They died. I mean, they were killed for their sin. David, he went before the Most High, and the Most High said he was a man after his own heart. Saul, unlike David, Saul tried to blame the people for his sin. When the prophet came to him, David said, you know, this man ought to die. And then when he found out it was him, he repented with his whole heart. Saul was like, no, those people, they made me do that. They wanted those cows and those sheep. But I told you to kill everything. But I listened to the people is more or less what Saul was saying. And the Most High, what? Eventually had him, what, killed? So he suffered the penalty. So just understand that in these days, if you're sinning, you're not getting away with anything. You just haven't come before the judgment throne of the Most High yet. And he's going to resurrect everybody and judge everybody according to their what, works. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. And we're going to get started verse 11. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Revelation, chapter 20, starting in verse 11. All right. Now, I pray everybody is there. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is all the rest of the dead. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in a book according to their work. Okay, everybody's going to be judged according to their work. What did you do? Were you an active sinner? Did you try to live a righteous life? Did you do the things that I told you to do? What are your works? Were you busy trying to get up in the world? You know, trying to seek fortune and fame, relying on making mammon your security. So the Most High says, what were your works? That's what he's going to judge everybody by. And according to his standard, won't be according to our standard because, you know, we don't carry a very high standard. But the Most High standards are written. He says, walk before me and be thou what?
Perfect.
I can't be perfect. Then you don't want to serve this Elohim. Because he says, walk before me and be thou perfect, for I am perfect. And he expects for us to strive for perfection. Okay. So go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So we understand that the wages of sin is death, and that Messiah died for our past sins. And that the difference between the sins are willful and ignorant sin. And willful sin is blasphemy. We want to make sure that people understand that. Because, you know, when you tell people they're blaspheming, then nobody really wants to, you know, nobody wants to blaspheme. They don't, you know, all of sin. You don't hear that all of blaspheme. But that's the truth of the matter. So let's understand this. 38, when it comes to what people must know about salvation. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repentance not only means to confess, but it means to turn away from. It means to have godly godly sorrow. Meaning that you understand that you have offended the Most High Elohim, and you are sorry about that. I mean, you are truly sorry. And it's enough. You're so convicted. Let's read this in Acts 2:38. Let's go back up to 37. So I want us to understand the level of the effect that this could have on you. Now, when they heard this, now, he was telling them about Messiah and what he had done and how he had been crucified and died on the cross and how they had killed him. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. This prick is not like a pin prick, okay? I want you to imagine a spear, okay? And in this case, this spear doesn't have a point on it. It has a blunt end. And a man on a horse would be riding on a horse, and he would hit you in the chest with this spear called a lance. And it would literally bust your heart. It was called a Roman prick. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about this big lance hitting you in your heart and busting your heart. So when they heard this, their heart was what? Busted. They were deeply convicted in what they had done, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And we're guilty of this. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. So we got to tell people that they need to repent. We got to explain to them exactly what repentance is. We, you know, got to know that they're just not hearing a story and that they should be convicted in their heart that they have offended the Most High Elohim. If you're not sorry that you have offended him, do you think you have truly repented? You're probably just sorry you got caught. Okay, but not a true repentance. Not from the standpoint that the Most High wants you to understand that, hey, you have offended me and you should be very sorry that you have offended me. Because I'm the one that can separate your spirit from your body. I'm the one that can deliver you. I'm the one that determines whether you enter into eternal life in the kingdom or whether you enter into eternal life in the lake. So you have to be very sorry that you have offended him. That's what repentance is all about, to have godly sorrow. Okay, and then to turn away from it. All right, let's go to the book of John, chapter 3. So understand the wage of sin is death. Whenever you sin, you are earning death. And that you need to repent of that sin with godly sorrow. And that you need to love Elohim. But in order to love Elohim, you got to know Elohim. If you don't know him, you can't love him. Because what do you love about him? It's like somebody saying they love you and they don't know nothing about you. Well, then what do you love about me? I just love you. Okay, you might like me, but you don't even know if I'm a good person or a bad person. I could be an axe murderer for all you know. So when it's talking about loving, it's talking about you got to love somebody, you have to really know them. Okay. So Romans chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 16. Romans, and when you have it, say amen.
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 Amen. You know what? I'm sorry. I think you got the wrong place. John 3. I got Romans on the brain. John 3:16. And when you
amen.
Have that, yeah, amen. All right. So everybody's there. John 3:16.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's do it. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this believing, okay, when you believe something, then you will act on it. So just like it says, faith without works is what?
Dead.
Dead. If you say you have faith and you don't have anything to show to back up your faith, then your faith is dead. Believing, and that's just like saying believing without works is dead. So you can say, yeah, I believe that Messiah was the son of Elohim, and don't ever do anything that he says to do. Do you think he's going to save you? No. And people believe that, you know, just because they believe, they've heard his name, and they believe that they shall be saved. But he says, if you love me, do what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. And how do you say you love me if you keep not my commandments? And if you say you know me, let's go get another verse here. Leave this lesson for just a second. We'll get another verse. Wow. It was just in my mind and left it that quick. I know what it is. Hold on. Did I smoke it over? I thought it was Roman. One second. just about to come back to that. I'm not wording it. Not finding it worded the way I was thinking that it was worded. I'm looking for the verse that says, where the Most High says, you say you know him and keep not his commandments, you're a liar, or something to that effect. But it'll come to me. Let's move on here. So we just read John 3:16. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5, and we're going to get verse 8. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right. But Elohim commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Mashiach died for us. The Most High didn't wait for us to, what, get good?
Right.
Before Messiah died for us, but while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so we have to understand and reverence that and respect that and love him for that. You would lay down your life for me, and I'm contrary to you. I'm your enemy. Because when we are adversarial to him, we are his enemy. And when we are in sin, we are adversarial to him. Okay, so he died for his adversary. Go to Titus chapter 2. Now, before we go to Titus, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. And we are going to be getting verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And this
amen.
Is what, all right, amen. Thank you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of Elohim. And not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you think that you can come to the Most High and say, hey, I keep the law perfectly. I don't sin. I pay alms. I take care of the fatherless, the widow, and the homeless. I do all these things. If you think that you serve him perfectly, he said that still won't get you saved because you're trying to leave who out of it?
Him,
Messiah, out of it. As Messiah, you're trying to leave him out of it and saying that of your own work, you can save yourself. You didn't need Messiah. But the problem is that you were born and created in what? Sin. And you got to be able to get that off of you. So I gave you guys an analogy of this. And then we looked at it in the parable. If I loan you $100, then you are a debtor because you borrowed $100. Okay. The only way not to be a debtor is to pay your debt back. And you're no longer a debtor. But if I forgive you that debt, you're still a debtor. You just say what?
Forgiven debtor.
A forgiven debtor. Still a debtor, though. And so what Messiah did was he paid for our sins. We owe him for that. We are bought with a price. And if we come up under him, then we belong to him. And we are still sinners. So we are forgiven sinners. And if we don't forgive other people their sin, what does the Most High say he will do?
He won't forgive us.
He'll put your sin back on you. He forgave you. But then if you turn around and won't forgive others, he will put your sin back on you. Why? Because your debt is in his hands. So even though Messiah died for our sins, we are still sinners and our debt can be put back on us. Now, where do we get that from? Let me get the source. I know you know it. So that we have an understanding that this concept is taught in the scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. The book of Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to start in verse 24. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Amen.
Matthew's. All right, amen. Thank you. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 24. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. That is the king. But for as much as he had not paid, his master commanded him to be sold. You owe me 10,000 talents. I'm selling you. I'm selling your wife. I'm selling your children. And all that he had, and payment to be made. So I'm getting my money. If I got to sell you, your wife, your children, into slavery, into debtor's prison, let you work it off. And what did the servant say? And the servant therefore fell down and worship him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Now, I know that we have the understanding that, hey, somebody forgive us our debt, then we don't ever have to pay that back. They can't bring it back on. You forgave me that. No, you're still in debt. And at any time, that person can call that debt back on you. Okay, so let's watch this. And he forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which had owed him 100 pennies, a dollar. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, he didn't do what his master did he? His master forgave him. He turned around. Somebody owed him way less. And he had them cast into prison. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord and their master all that was done. Then his master, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desired me. Shouldest thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his master was wroth, was angry, and delivered him to the tormentor, till he should pay all that debt, all that was due unto him. So he called his debt back on him. He forgave him, and then he called it back on him. I forgave you. You still owe me. And because you didn't forgive that person, I'm going to call your debt back on you. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone that his brother their trespass. So he's equating money to sin.
Wow.
But it goes across, hey, if you owe me a debt, then if I forgive you that debt, then you're still a debtor. You're just a forgiven debtor. And at any time, somebody can call that debt back on you for whatever reason. You don't even have to make them mad. Hey, I'm short on money now, and I need money. So I need you to pay me what you owe me. But you forgave me that. Yeah, I know, but now I need you. You didn't pay me back, so you still owe me. That's the concept here. And so the Most High says, if we don't forgive people their trespasses against us, then he will call our sins back on us, our debt. Okay? Let's go John 3:36. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 36. Anybody have any questions on that you are a forgiven sinner?
No.
Still a sinner?
No.
Just forgiven. And the only way that you cannot be a sinner is that you are able to pay for your sins yourself. And none of us can pay for our sins ourselves. So we can never come out of debt. We were bought with a price by Messiah. Romans chapter 3.
Romans?
Yeah, Romans 3.
I thought you said John.
I'm sorry. I don't know why people want to go to Romans. My bad, John. John chapter 3, verse 36. Thank you for the correction, my sister. I thought you said John. What's wrong with you? All right, amen, amen. Keep me straight, keep me straight. All right, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Elohim abideth on him. If you don't believe, then you got no hope at all. If you believe, then you will do what he said to do so that you can enter into life. He has paved the way. He has done the necessary. Okay? But you don't get to just say, I believe, and then walk into everlasting life. Your hearing and believing is the first step. And then you have the, let's go to John chapter 1, the book of John chapter 1, and we're going to get verse 12 and 13 when you have it, say amen.
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 John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become. If you received Messiah, what did he give you the power to become?
The Son of God.
The Son of Elohim. Even to them that believed on his name, he gave the power to become. If I give you a gun, does that give you the power to become a murderer?
No.
Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gave you a gun. You could use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you now, if without a gun, well, you could still be a murderer. There's a lot of ways to kill. But if I give you a gun, it gives you the power to become a murderer. Don't mean that you have to be a murderer. Don't mean you have to use it to murder somebody. But you have the power to. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily make you a murderer. Because in order to become a murderer, you have to murder somebody, right?
Right.
Okay, but you do have the power to. It's very easy to just go out the door and just randomly, shoot somebody?
Yeah.
And kill them.
Because
you got the gun. So you have the power to. When we believe in Messiah, we have the power to become the sons of Elohim. But believing does not make us the son of Elohim. But you have the power to become. Before, we had no power to become son of Elohim. So he gave you the power to become the son of Elohim, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who?
Of Elohim.
Of Elohim. Okay, got to be born by Elohim, by the Spirit of the Most High. Got to be begotten by the Spirit of the Most High. That's why he says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. By his Spirit, he begets us. And when he fills us with his Spirit, that is what makes us his children. It's because we are human beings, or we're Hebrew Israelites, or we believe, doesn't make us his children. We have to do what we are supposed to do to become. Okay? So he gives us the power to become. Okay? And that's where, if you can understand that I'm giving you the tools so that you can become my child. So you got to first, if you don't believe that I am who I say that I am and that I can do what I say I can do, then you are dead already. Because the only path to life, you are what, rejecting?
Yeah.
But if you believe, then I've given you the power to become. Now, you got to do what it is I said to do. Okay. Let's go to chapter 2. Book of Titus, chapter 2. We're going to get verses 11 through 15. When you have it, say amen.
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 And amen. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. For the grace of Elohim that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, not denying that we're doing ungodliness, but actually stop doing it?
Right.
And worldly lust. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Let's get that verse. So let's finish this verse and we'll get that. Worldly lust, we should live soberly. This is sober in all aspects. Means lawfully. We know that word righteous means lawful. So righteously would be what? Lawfully. And godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now people, this is a compound title. Because is Yeshua the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of Elohim?
Amen.
Are those two of his titles?
Yes, it is.
Huh? This is a compound title, the great Elohim and our Savior. How many Elohims are there?
One.
And that was Israel was created for, to testify and to be a witness that there's only one. So when he says the great God, the great Elohim and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, that is a compound title pointing to Messiah. He is our Elohim and he is our Savior. Okay. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. This word peculiar here means so special that if you were jewelry, then you would be so precious that he would put you in a safety deposit box, lock you in a vault, and then put armed angels around to protect you. That's what the word means. You're that precious to him. We are. So if we're that precious, peculiar to him, then ought we to reverence him with the same respect? Zealous of good work. These things speak and exhort, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. People People don't like being rebuked. You can't tell me what to do. You can't judge me. But we're supposed to. With all authority, let no man despise you. Okay. So we are saved for good works. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works. So that we might do them. So that we might do the will of the Most High. Now, just a second. Go to 1 John chapter 2. And let's get verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, thank you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of who?
Of the Father.
Not of the Father.
But it is of the world.
But it is of the world. The world tells you that, you know, you need to go to school and get your college degree and get a good job and get a big home and get the car and have 2.5 children and a white picket fence. The world tells you that. The world tells you that you should be running around chasing skirts. And women should be walking around with everything hanging out, enticing men. And men should be running after it like they are, you know, dogs in heat. The lust of the flesh. Then the lust of the eye. All these things, what can I get? Do you have something that I want? And the pride of life. What accomplishments am I going to... do in my life? What things do I want to do? You know, I want to be a senator. I want to be a lawyer. I want to have 1,500 stores. The pride of life, how we, you know, define ourselves, in other words. All these things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. The Father said, seek you first what? The kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Don't let your motivation be this world. But seek the kingdom first. Okay. So we need to be telling people these things so that they have an understanding of this is what they're coming into. You know, not making a decision off of emotion. Somebody told me I was a sinner. But making a decision off of the facts. Okay, and understanding what things Elohim is for and what things he is against. Then you can make an informed decision. Do I want to come into this? Do I want to do it? Nobody wants to die. But do we want to do those things that bring us life? And most of the time it's no. We figure this is the only life we got, and we're going to live it to the best, to the fullest while we can. Not realizing that what we're doing is bringing us what? Death? So I want to get something from this other document here. Go to Luke chapter 14. So we want to tell people the truth, and we want them to have the right expectation. We don't want them being hit with a bombshell. I thought it was supposed to be like this. A lot of people, when they try to desert the world, that's when they start getting attacked by Satan. to make them feel like they had it better in his kingdom than they did will ever have it in the Most High. And so a lot of people will start down this walk and then be like, man, I ain't never had it this bad before, and do what? Turn back.
Yeah.
So Luke chapter 14, verse 28 and 29. Verse 28, 29, and 30. Because every individual has to do this. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and does what? Counts the cost. Am I going to be able to serve Messiah the way that he says I have to serve him? Do I want to do that? Because everybody's got to what? Make that choice. They got to make that decision. And he says, so I want you to count the cost. Whether you have sufficient to finish it, whether you have what it takes to run the race, to finish it. Sadly, after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him. Oh, I thought you said you were saved. I thought you said you were living for Mashiach. Going back out of this club. Why you got that joint sticking out your mouth? Why I see you high most of the time? Why you still chasing women or still chasing men? Did you count the cost? Were you going to be able to do this thing or not? So people that know you, you know, when you first come to Messiah, you're on fire. And you got good intentions. But if you came off of emotion, as soon as you start getting attacked, as soon as things look like they are going against you, and, you know, a big one for a lot of people is tithing, because they're living off the tithe. Wait a minute, that's a bill. And I'm barely making it week to week of what it's going to take to give your all. Drop down to verse 30. No, let's go back to verse 26. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Luke 14 and verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, this is what people need to know and understand. If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and his brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. Can't be a follower of mine. Because he's saying you got to love him more than you love what, anybody else?
Yeah.
Even your own self. You got to set the expectation. This is what's required. And whosoever does not bear his cross, does whatever it takes, and come after me, he can still be my disciple.
No, he cannot.
Cannot be my disciple. You got to let people know what they're coming into. You got to give them that expectation up front. Because I truly believe when people have the correct information up front, then they can make an informed decision. And they can make the decision whether they want to really do this. Or they can make the decision, nah, that ain't for me. Because it ain't for everybody. It's not for everyone. So this is the expectation that people should have, who are already in this walk should have. This is the expectation that the saints that are in this walk should be giving to new believers. And then if somebody rejects it, at least they rejected it what, with all the facts and the truth. And then out running around saying I'm struggling I'm trying to do this walk when they don't even know what walk they're really supposed to have. I'm just trying to be good. By whose standards? Yours or the Most High? And I think that's where a lot of us, we get disappointed. We get, what's the word I'm looking for here? Not disappointed, but we think that it becomes where we think it's too much.
Overwhelmed,
yes. That's a good word. But the truth of the matter is, are these Brother Miles' words, or is this, it is written?
It is written.
And that is what it is all about. It's just that I don't know why most won't teach. But my job is to show you. Okay, so that we get it right. Because there's no way, this is my honest position on all of this, there's no way that we could get this wrong and we have it in right.
Amen.
We are without excuse. So that's where I'm at, and that's why I try to teach this way, so that we can get it right. Peter, chapter 6. Second Peter, chapter 6.
Chapter 6?
Chapter 3.
Okay, thank you.
3, 6, stay down, folks. Second Peter chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 9. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Yah is not slack concerning his promise. Because people believe, just like I said, the Most High, he's appointed, a day? When he's going to judge everybody, and people think that he's slack, that he's slow. That's why they say he may not meet you when you want to, but he's always on time or something like that. That's saying.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's not slack. Some men count slackness. The Most High, I ain't on your time. You on mine. But is long suffering to us word or toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
It's not his wish, not his desire, not his will that any should perish. But men do these things to themselves, being hard-hearted, being, you know, not being disobedient. So he didn't want anybody to perish, but you know what? If you do those things that cause you to perish, he's not just going to miraculously say, oh, that's okay, my son, come on in. He's not going to say that. Because he's not a respecter of persons. He's got to be in your heart to be what he wants you to be. And he wants you to, as we just read, what, count the cost? And be willing to pay the price. Not say, oh, well, you know, I'm trying. Well, you don't read nowhere in there where he says try.
No.
You don't ever say that. Yeah, you won't find it in the book anywhere where he says try. That's why he says, be a what of his word?
A doer.
A doer of his word, and not just a hearer only. And do it with your whole heart.
Yeah.
Not with, you know, I'm going to give the Most High leftovers.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give him, you know, I'm going to give him my next best effort, because I got all my energy going into this over here.
Uh-huh.
No, he says, I want your whole heart. I want your all. And if we try to give him less than that and he don't accept it, then who did he fail or did you?
I failed.
Right. If you didn't give him your all, he didn't fail. He says, hey, my judgment is going to still stand. So, he's not slack concerning his promise. Verse 10. But the day of Yah will come as a thief in the night, when we least expect it. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Imagine you hear a loud thunderclap. Now, I want you to imagine this for real, because imagine all the air around you leaving.
Oh.
That's what he just said. The heavens shall do what?
Pass away.
With a great noise. You are breathing oxygen. Now there ain't no oxygen. You are oxygen consuming being. So if you ain't changed, what's going to happen to you? Because he says you're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, right?
Right.
If you don't go through that change, what do you think will happen to you when the atmosphere leaves?
You're going to evaporate.
Yeah. You're going to evaporate, you're going to die.
Yes, you
are. And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The mountains will start to melt. But he says everything is going to lay low. The mountains are going to bow down to him. There ain't going to be nothing exalted up high. No mountains, no nothing. Even the islands in the ocean are going to sink. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be what?
Burnt up.
Because to be in his presence, I've done the lesson where I show you what he looks like. According to the script, he looks like what? Molten lava. That's his color. Like molten lava. And he says, you're going to be in my presence. Flesh and blood can't be in my presence like that. You have to be changed and be like me to be in my presence when I'm in my true form. So at his presence, the heavens are going to pass away, and the elements that are on the earth. Can you imagine you survive and you go outside and your car is melting?
Oh.
It's just melting into the ground. The stop signs, everything melts. Concrete melts.
Oh.
The elements melt with fervent heat. So, seeing, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be what?
Dissolved.
Why are you putting your hope and your faith in all these things when they're not going to what? Be here?
Right.
What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing that all these things are going to dissolve, why is your hope in this world? I'm getting rid of all this. The new earth, there won't be the water. Well, after, let's say, in Messiah's, in the millennial kingdom, the only water that's going to really be, that's going to be usable, is going to be coming out of the throne. And it's going to create a sea, I believe, where the Dead Sea is at. It's going to bring all that to life. But he says the rest of the water he's getting rid of. There ain't going to be no sea.
Mm-hmm.
No lake. You ain't gonna, if you are eternal, do you need food?
No.
You don't. Do you need water?
No.
Do you need air?
No.
No. You don't need none of those things. That's only for us in this condition that we're in. But the new body that he's going to give us, and the new heavens and the new earth, water, food, and all that stuff is not required. You can eat if you want to eat. Come and eat bread and fish with his disciples. He did. Did he walk through walls? He did. Just appeared. They were there talking, and there he was in the middle of them. He's giving us a glimpse of how we're going to be. Now, man can't see, even right now with the most powerful telescopes, they're putting them further and further out of space, trying to see to the end of this creation. They still can't see to the end of this creation. And they want to see if they can see heaven, where the Most High dwells. But just imagine this. No matter how fast they learn how to go, what they are learning is they'll never reach the end of this creation. Just imagine something, let's put it this way. Imagine something that's a billion light years away. What does that mean? That means for that light to travel from wherever it was at to you, it took a billion years from its origin. So you could travel for a billion years and still not reach the end of this creation. Travel for a billion years at the speed of light. So how fast is light? In 1 second, if you could bend a beam of light around this earth, in 1 second, that light will go around this earth 11 times. In 1 second. 186,000 miles per second. Now you travel at that speed, 186,000 miles per second, for a billion years. How far would you have gone? An unimaginable amount of, yeah, you can't imagine that number. And you still wouldn't have reached the end of the creation. And yet, the heaven of heavens is outside of this creation. So how fast did Messiah have to travel to get back to heaven? That's a whole other story within itself.
Man.
A whole other miracle that we don't consider. All right, so we should be telling every, you know, the new saints what is will for mankind. And his will was in verse 9. That he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should what perish. That's his will. But then he said, what does he say is going to happen? Many are called, but many are chosen.
You are chosen.
It's not his will that any should perish, but he's only choosing what? A few? Because that means that most people will not get this right. They're not willing to do what it takes to get it right. Most people want to offer a Cain offering. And Cain gave the Most High his leftovers. That's why his sacrifice wasn't acceptable. He didn't give him his first and his best. People want to do. They don't want to give the Most High their first and their best. We got to set the right expectations so that people are reverencing the Most High the way he wants to be reverenced, that they're fearing him the way he wants to be feared, that they're serving him the way that he wants to be served, not the way that you think you ought to serve him, but the way he says he wants to be served. You know, it's just like you're in a relationship and you tell your partner you need certain things and then they do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not what you want, but you're supposed to be happy with it. I said, I want these things. If you're not able to give me those things or do those things for me, if that's what you really want, do you think you're going to be happy with them?
No.
You'll settle, but you're not going to really be happy. Because you're not getting what it is that you wanted. In some cases, what you need. So this is what the way the Most High is. He says, this is what I want. I don't need anything from you, but this is what I want. And if you're not able to give me that, then we feel like, hey, he should just accept whatever we give him then.
Yeah.
And he says, no, I don't. I want your best. I want your whole. I want your all. And if I don't get that, I'm only taking those, I'm only choosing those that will give me that. They're all. So many people hear this call. But he don't choose everybody. Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 28:19. The book of Matthew, chapter 28, and verse 19.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, this is the Great Commission. This is what Messiah told his disciples upon his departure. And actually, let's start in verse 18. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I am the all-powerful. All power is given to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost for the Ruach HaKodesh. So we are commanded to go and teach all nations. That nations there is ethnos, all ethnicity. We're not supposed to leave somebody out because they're a different race. All ethnicity. All people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have suggested to you.
Command.
Is there a difference between a commandment and a suggestion?
Yes, it is.
I would think so, yes.
Amen. That I have commanded. This is an order. When you're in the army or the military, if your superior officer or ranking person gives you an order, you have agreed that you're going to carry out that order. And if it's wartime and you don't carry it out, they can just shoot you in the head. Kill you right on the spot because you're disobeying a command. Now, if man can do that to you, what do you think the Most High? I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. So we are commanded to go and teach all nations and baptize them. All ethnicities. Can't say, oh, because you are white or you're black or you're purple or you're green, you got slanted eyes, you got round eyes, you got short hair, you got kinky hair, you got straight hair, you're Eskimo, you are whatever. No, we're not offering salvation to you. To offer it to everyone. And whosoever will. So he is the one that, are you doing the choosing?
No.
No.
All thing you do is present this gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here to offer it to you. And if you want to accept it, then these are the things that you have to do. And if you don't want to accept it, then I will cast the dust off the what? My shoes?
Yeah.
As a testimony against you. We are commanded to do that. Okay. Because what we have is so precious that if somebody don't esteem it, he says, hey, don't be wasting your time, you know, trying to sell them this. Because if they can't esteem it, then they don't want it. If they don't want it, don't just try to keep force-feeding it to them.
Right.
Knock the dust off your shoes. You're commanded to do that. Teach them. And if they want to listen and learn, then continue to teach them. If they don't keep trying to force it on them.
Right.
Because you're not doing the choosing, and you're not doing the rejecting.
Yeah.
Go to Mark chapter 16. And let's get Mark 16 and 16.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my
sister. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you all. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what?
Saved.
Now, I'm going to get on y'all. I'm like, yeah, amen, and y'all ain't even at the verse.
Ah, yeah.
Right. Good grief. But he that believeth not shall be damned.
Shall be damned.
Damned.
Did you damn him?
No. No.
So to tell somebody that they're damned or they're going to be damned, you're just repeating the scripture, okay?
Yeah.
And you're telling them what? The truth. That worship Elohim have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So if they don't believe, they are already damned, because that's why I said you act out of what you believe. You want to know what somebody believes? Watch what they do. You say you serve the Most High with your whole heart? Watch that person. See if they do. Because you're going to do what you believe. How many of us, I can't even think of a good example right now. Well, like I used to just say, if I tell y'all, hey, your house is on fire, if you believe me, you would get up and go check. But if you didn't believe me, you'd be like, yeah, right. You just talking out the side of your neck saying something. So I don't believe you. I'm not going to do that. I'm not getting up, wasting my time. That's the way it is with all things in life. Want to know what somebody believes? They do.
Yeah.
That shows what they believe. So if you don't believe, if you truly believe, then you're going to do what he says to do.
Sure.
And if you don't, if you say you believe, but you really don't, you're not going to do what he says to do. If you got doubts, you're going to question everything.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. And I think it says this about that. And why would God do something like that? So they, you can see what people actually believe by what they do. Not what they say, but what they do. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 24.
Amen.
We're at Luke 24.
Yes.
Amen. What verse y'all at?
We're waiting for you.
Okay. Amen. I'm just checking.
Hurry up and get there.
I'm just checking. Luke chapter 24, let's go to verse 46. Luke 24 and 46, we'll begin 46 and 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Again, this word nations here is not like a country. He's more so speaking of ethnos. They translated it nations, but this word in the Greek,
race.
Is ethnos race. And that makes a difference. You got many different races on this what, earth.
Yeah.
And people will they'll discriminate based upon race. And Messiah says this gospel is to every what, race?
Yeah.
Not just a Jew. So in the scriptures, a Gentile is anybody other than a Jew. To the Jew first and then to who?
Gentile.
The Gentile. Everybody else. Okay. And they will say that Gentile stands for nation. But if we use the modern meaning for nation, then we might think country. But it's really saying every, to the Jew first, then to every other race. No matter what country you come from. Verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Okay. So, we got to tell them about the need to be baptized, right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yeah.
And he that believeth not shall be damned. Where is the kingdom of heaven at right now?
It's within us.
Amen. It's within us. It's already here. And we are supposed to be living according to that standard. The kingdom of heaven is already here. It's within us. Supposed to be what? Within us?
Right.
So how can we be citizens of a kingdom if we don't keep its laws, its statutes, its commandments? We don't celebrate the holidays of the kingdom.
Yeah.
We celebrate the holidays of the world. That's a contradiction within itself. Okay, so let's get this. Go to Luke chapter 17. Okay, verses 20 and 21. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 And we're not just saying we're in Luke chapter 20, right? We're at verse 20 and 21. Luke chapter 17.
Yeah. 17 and verse 20.
All right, amen.
20 and 21.
20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of Elohim should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of Elohim cometh not with what? Observation. You can't see it come. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of Elohim is where?
In you. Within you.
Within you. It's already here. People waiting on Messiah to come back. Messiah said, I told you to do something. I told you to establish the kingdom in the earth. And that it should be like, the kingdom should be like leaven. Leaven, you know, we always look at leaven as what? Sin?
Uh-huh.
But leaven is really a reactionary agent. It causes a reaction in something. Like yeast causes a reaction in what? Flour?
Uh-huh.
And so sin is a leavening. It's something that causes an action, a reaction in you. In this case, it brings you death. Okay? But he says that the kingdom shall be like three loaves or halves or something like that, that were leavened, and the whole lump became what? Leavened. Not sinful. It's not using leaven. It becomes stained. You are supposed to be leavening. Your leavening be what? Love, joy, mercy, long-suffering, peace. That's leavening. It's a change agent. It should cause a reaction. And it should cause a change. So he uses leaven to describe sin, but when you really look at it, there are many different types of leavening and things that cause a reaction or a change. We want to cause a reaction or a change for the what? Good?
Mm-hmm.
And not for wickedness or evil. So our leavening is different than the leavening of the world. Okay. Verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, the day will come when you see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. We didn't really need that one. Okay. So understand that the kingdom of heaven is within us. It's here already. And either you have your citizenship or you don't. And if you have your citizenship, then you should be what? Law-abiding?
Mm-hmm.
According to the kingdom, not according to man's standards. And if you don't keep his laws, his statutes and commandments, his judgments, then you are a lawbreaker. You are unrighteous. But the kingdom is here already, and a lot of people don't realize that. They don't know that. So when Messiah comes back, he should find you acting like a citizen and being a citizen in the kingdom. So you belong to him? Then you should be a citizen in his kingdom. And you should be acting like one. Let's get... let's see what time we got. 7:44. Let's stop here for this evening. Sister Denise already yawning.
How you know that was me, Brother Miles?
Because I know you're young. That's bad, ain't it? Ain't never met you, but I know you're young. All right. Amen. All right, so we're going to stop right here. Let us pray real quick. Father, yeah, we thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Father, we pray that someone would hear your word and your voice, that they would come, and that they would seek you first in your righteousness, and that they would believe with their whole heart, and that they would be convicted that they are sinners, and that they have transgressed your laws and your statutes, your commandments, and your judgments, and that it would make them, their heart hurt, that they have so offended you, that they would seek you with their whole heart and serve you with their whole heart, Father. So we pray that this word has somebody encouragement, let them see something in a way that perhaps they have never seen it or heard it, that they would do it. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we are going to pick this up on next week with the baptism. I want to spend a lot of time there on the baptism, because baptism is required. There's a lot of doctrines out there and a lot of camps and people teaching that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, that baptism is a work. They believe that baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. All that being said, we want to know the workings of baptism. What does it do for the individual? What does it do spiritually? Is it just going down in the water and getting wet, or is there a spiritual component to this? So that when you are teaching someone or telling them that you can teach it from this mic, that they must be baptized, and this is why, and this is what it does for them, and how the Most High looks at baptism, about the necessity of being baptized by the Ruach HaKodesh, and what that does for us. Because many people get baptized, and many people hear this word, but not many people receive the Ruach. Everybody doesn't receive the Holy Spirit. And, you know, people are being told that they receive the Holy Spirit. Believe me, if you receive the Holy Spirit, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There ain't no experience like that. So if somebody told you you're filled with the Spirit and you never had these experiences, some of these experiences, of all these experiences that are in the Scriptures, then, you know, I would say you question your salvation and make sure you do what you have to do. If you want it that bad, then you're going to do what you have to do. Point blank. All right, so we will get into that on next week. And let me see how far we still got left in the street stuff. We got maybe 2 weeks left. We'll have another two lessons this next Tuesday, and the Tuesday after that we should be finished with lesson number 7. Any questions on what we covered tonight?
No, I have any.
All right, amen. I really do need to start giving tests. Y'all be talking about, I ain't got no questions, man. All right, let me see how much you really retaining. I know, and you got it right now, right? But tomorrow brings, that'll be a whole other story. All right. That being said, I love you all, and may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Well, wait a minute. I did want to show you guys some pictures. I won't be able to hear you for a second because I gotta plug my phone into where my speakers go,
uh-huh.
So I can load these pictures up, and I'll show you these pictures, and then we'll dismiss. I am starting to do more on Hebrew Connect. The owner of that site has reached out to me. He wants to come visit in Phoenix. So, you know, anytime that he's ready, just let me know. He supposedly has a congregation here somewhere. Let's go to my phone. And oh wow, I took the wrong thing. All right, let me find my phone again. Hold on. I'm hearing you through another set of headsets. I forgot that I have these hooked up. Now, were you talking to me, Sister Denise? What did you say? The same plug that I charged my phone with plugged into my computer. Yeah, you just copy it, like drag it, copy it from the phone to your computer. You just like drag them. Yeah, you can just drag it from your phone, a folder on your phone to a folder on your computer. Hey, man, it can't hurt. Now the lighting on these is kind of different, but get out of the way and get back to the room. Say, while these are uploading, I'll be right back. Okay, it's still uploading. Mm-hmm. All right, these pictures should be up now. Okay, can you guys see what's on my screen? Or see what's, okay, this far right, this middle tray here, this is fenugreek, but I've already harvested out of this one, the one in the middle here. But I put it back because everything hadn't germinated and come up. But this over here on the top one where it's full at in here. My drawing tools. So this one right in here. This is a salad mix. Remember I was telling you guys I was having a problem with the salad mix. This is full. And when I say it's full, and this is grown on in this case, this is cocoa hair, so coconut hair. Then I don't know if I got these down here because these are even fuller down here. Let's see. Okay, yeah, that's the bottom. It's kind of blurry because I took it fast. But you see how full these trays are? down here. This is a salad mix also. And one of them is grown in dirt, and one of them is grown in, I did three different mediums, the dirt, the cocoa here, and then remember I told you about the spring? This one right here is, right here is the spring, this one is dirt, the one on top was cocoa here. So they're all full, but the trick with these is, on all of these I put more holes in the top tray so the roots could get through, and it has made a difference. Now this one right here, this is broccoli, and it's still sort of coming in, but what I found is that, like, even with the fenugreek, if you don't sow the seed real dense, they don't do as well. And I sort of measured out like 30 grams of seed for all these. And but I think I need more than 30 grams of seed for this wire, so that the stalks have, they actually depend on each other. They lean up against each other to grow up straight. Let me go. Okay. This one right here, these, can't really see this right here, but let me circle it. Okay, this is red cabbage. I completely harvested this, and some seeds were still left, and I wasn't ready to grow a new crop yet, so I just put it back up under the lights and watered it. And these are the seeds that hadn't come up yet. Now they have come up, but the spray was actually full like this. And now if I don't know if I can roll in on it, but you can see dirt. You see, I can see dirt in there. But this was actually full, and I did a complete harvest on it. I took it to market last week. And so it actually looked like this. Now this is one of the new trays with all the little tiny holes in it. And this is only like 4 days old. And that's a big difference. And it's full. And this was a full tray. I kind of halfway harvested it. This was. This was mixed salad, and I harvested half the tray to make a delivery to somebody that's on a spiritual prescription. So I needed to get 4 ounces of this because they wanted a wellness mix and a mixed salad mix, and I needed to give them 4 ounces of mixed salad, and it took a half a tray to do that. But getting 4 ounces out of this half a tray. Like in the broccoli, I might only get 2 ounces out of a whole tray. So to get 4 ounces out of a half a tray, this means that this was denser and bigger. And a lot of these I'm trying to let grow extra days because they add just more weight to the plant. So it's easier getting there. Let's see where I'm at here. Yeah, those closer up of those two bottom trays. And you can just see the different colors in there. Those are the different. The mixed salad is like celery and, not celery, but cabbage and broccoli and alfalfa and one other one that they grow together. So you get these different colors in here. But I was having a problem before growing these. They actually kind of look like that we were looking at where you could see dirt. that's how they were looking. They wouldn't come up, you know, they wouldn't come up strong like this. These are ready to be harvested. I'm going to go out there and harvest them tonight. I think I'm going to harvest one tonight, and then I'll let one continue to grow till Thursday, and I'll harvest Thursday night. So that I have something for the market tomorrow, and I have something for the market on Thursday. Now, let's see. Let me get better. All right, this is, what do those look like to you? Anybody recognize that plant? Let me turn it around. It's like radish. No, these aren't sprouts. All right. Look at it real close now. You don't recognize that? That's sunflower. So you got the little plant, and then where you see black at, that's the sunflower seed. That all hangs onto the leaf until the plant has used up all the nutrients in the seed, and then it falls off. So this is a new crop, and these are like 4 days, no, these are 5 days old. And so I was due to grow another crop of these, so I have like 3 trays of these. And then I had one, I don't know which picture it is. So those are growing in cocoa hair. This one is cocoa hair. That's the same. It's not the same plant, but it's all, these are sunflower seeds. My watering bottle, a Pepsi bottle. Put a bunch of holes in the cap. It works miracles. So these are another tray of sunflower seed, and then I have one that is growing, and I'm not going to take the time to look all the way through all these. This one's at 1800. All right, so this, you notice about this tray. Yeah. Look at the bottom of the tree. What do you see? Yeah, but you should be looking at one that has sunflowers in it. So look at the bottom of the plant and tell me what you see or don't see. Yeah, the bottom of the plant. Look. Right. There's no dirt, no screen, no nothing on this. It's just the seed on top of that white tray. And I watered them, and they started growing through the tray. And they're just a little bit slower than the ones that are growing in the cocoa hair. But they are growing in there. So I could actually grow without any dirt at all. Without dirt or, you know, cocoa hair or anything, just as long as the seeds won't fall through that hole, those little tiny holes, then you could actually grow with no. I always wanted to, you know, see if I could grow them, make them sprout and grow with no dirt at all. Just water and put some just water on. All right, these are, could be, but when these get another 2 or 3 days old, it'll be nothing but green on top. The leaves are very soft, and when you cut them and you eat them, they are kind of sweet. You know, they're not like sugar sweet, but they're kind of sweet for a plant. And a lot of people like these. I like them. I like all of them, though. I learned to like them all. So these, you know, they look like the peas. You wet them, and then the sprout comes out of them. And then they start growing up like these little plants like this. But I'm happy I think I have 10 trays this size growing now, not just peas, but, you know, sunflowers, radish, broccoli, just, I think, 5 different plants. The only one that is still not doing well, and I haven't tried them in these types of trays yet, is for some reason the fenugreek, the first crop I grew was like immaculate. Couldn't ask for anything better. But since then, they don't want to hardly come up. And I'm doing the same thing I did before. But they don't want to hardly come up. But the sprouts, fenugreek sprouts, I think I made like 4 pounds of sprouts. Just fenugreek, and that's a lot of sprouts. And I got to go out there. I'm letting them dry out right now so that I can pack them and put them in the freezer. They can be, you know, frozen but dry. That way they'll last longer. But yeah, I'm getting with the sprout. I'm finding that the fenugreeks are doing just phenomenal in 5 days. The rest of them is going to actually take about 10 days for the sprouts to get as large as I want them to get. So I didn't harvest them. I harvested broccoli and I harvested fenugreek sprouts. But I'll take some pictures of them in the jar. So they completely filled the jar up and were coming out of the jar. It was that many. In that large. Everybody's going to come back up in another day. Okay, this is, and it's under a different light. This looks so beautiful. And I harvested out of this. To make the wellness mix. Okay. So these on the right hand side are radishes, and on the left hand side, I think that looks like a mixed salad. But these got, you know, they came up real strong and real big. And these are overdue to be harvested. So I got a lot of trays to harvest tonight. Be ready for market tomorrow. And, you know, when you go to the market, as soon as you don't bring something, that's what people want. So I had like 10 packages of like radishes like 2 weeks ago. Nobody bought a single one. So I ended up eating some and then actually had to just, you know, throw away some. Because radishes, they're not something that you eat a lot of every day. You mix them with stuff. But, and then as soon as I didn't have any, then people came wanting radishes. So, but these are, to see these in real life, they are huge. As far as the microgreen goes. And I can't water them because when you harvest them, you don't want them to be wet, especially in the leaves, because then that's what, you know, once you pack them, and then that's what makes them grow mold and stuff like that. The wet. Yeah, so you want them dry, and then you harvest them dry, and they'll last longer. Water and plants, if they are not, you know, if they're not growing, water and plants don't go together well. So if you have produce in your refrigerator and it's seeing moisture, it won't last. It needs to be dry. As long as you keep it dry, I found that it'll last a lot, you know, it'll last like 12 days. But if it's wet, if it gets wet any kind of way, then it's going to go bad. So when it's wet, you know, because it's too much humidity or too much humidity in the refrigerator, then they'll go bad. But anyway, I have more pictures, but I'm going to let everybody go. I just want you to see how, you know, these new trays and then the trays where I put the holes in them, everything is doing really good. And, you know, able to go to the market. As I said, people are, I was surprised how many people were buying last week or the last market I went to. They had a very good day. And I didn't have a whole lot of product. So I said, you know, I would make sure I take at least one tray of everything. But that would be it. I'm not going to harvest all of these. I'll, you know, harvest some for tomorrow and some for Friday. And that's what I'll go to the market with. But anyway, that's all I had. Just wanted to share. Thank you for hanging around. Here. Okay. So, Sister Lorraine, will you pray us out? Amen. Well, I won't be getting any, I probably won't get in bed until about 2. But, and be back up at around 7. So I can get the stuff done. And, yeah. And I know you're still working, what, 14-hour days or 12-hour days to fill a rank? That's got to be brutal. All right, amen. And Sister Mary working about 1-hour days. She don't know what to do with herself. All right. So have a blessed evening, everybody. And I will say to you, we will meet again on Thursday for the business meeting. All right. Shalom. Yep, I'm going to roll the credit. Where did I find it? There we go.
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. either way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you. It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion.
Probably her,
Yeah, probably her, most of her thoughts are on death.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Her daughter's painting her funeral. Why wouldn't it be?
Her daughter's painting her funeral?
Yes.
Her daughter's planning her funeral?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.